Opioids are powerful narcotic painkillers that attach to cells and dull pain, slow breathing, and bring on an overall sense of calm and satisfaction. Since 1999, the rate of fatal prescription opioid overdoses in the U.S. has quadrupled, and 100 people die of opioid addiction daily. In 2015, drug overdoses claimed more lives in car accidents and gun violence and unraveled the HIV/AIDS crisis at its peak. This is the opioid epidemic.
Hi, I'm Kelly Kugler, and I'm a registered nurse. Today I'm going to discuss the necessary treatment and support needed to recover from an opioid addiction.
Hey, I'm Seamus Lucy, and I'll be discussing the ways in which English has the power to shape reality. More specifically, how the language used to describe the opioid crisis has affected the way society handles this growing problem.
Now I'm Juan Calderon. I'll be discussing how the discipline of political science can aid in understanding the opioid crisis and the possible measures that the government can take to better handle the crisis. Similarly, to what extent or limit can the American government play a role in the diminishing use of opioids per capita in the United States?
Analyzing the Times article through the English lens provides many different takeaways. Language is not passive in the opioid crisis. In fact, language has the ability, whether it's intentional or not, to shape societies. The methodology of English as an academic discipline is language analysis. This tool is used in two ways, micro and macro language. Reading at a small scale in micro language allows the reader to analyze word choice, metaphors, similes, syntax, and vocabulary. This can be useful when thinking about who has agency or how people are being described and why it matters. With macro language, you read at a larger scale and pay attention to chronology, genre, and perspective. This can help us think about why something happened and the claim a story makes by the way it orders events in a specific way. Additionally, the English methodology can analyze the way that our culture looks at and thinks about people with addiction.
As a nurse, I work directly with many of the people suffering from opioid addiction and have a thorough understanding of their health. I know a lot about the effect that opioids have on the brain over time. The effects of opioids make it critical to get treatment. However, the treatment has many different components in order to return to being biologically, mentally, and socially healthy again. Although my discipline of study is good at providing care, I have no control over the policies that decide who receives care, who finances care, and at what cost. That's where political scientists come into play.
Being a political scientist, I have ample knowledge about the government and the role it plays in the lives of its citizens and society alike. Given the current proportions of the opioid epidemic in the United States, with nearly 100 people fatally dying as a direct result of opioids daily, it is essential to answer the very question that plunders everyone: how are politics and health intertwined? As American citizens, healthcare is composed out of a synchrony of collective choices that affects who provides care, receives care, and finances care, in what forms, and at what cost. Health is a common interest that we all have, but institutions regulated under government enactment seem to define the informal norms and customs that are in practice. Most public health issues are complex and multidimensional, but by framing the overall issue, we can place emphasis on a specific dimension of power that could potentially bring in new supporters or split into opposing coalitions.
The Time magazine piece does a good job of showing the biological and psychological parts of the biopsychosocial model of care, which is key in treating addiction. They accurately portrayed the role of psychological care during recovery by including details about how therapy helped the addicts learn to use their emotions to form positive reactions instead of negative reactions such as drug use. The authors did a good job explaining the biological treatment needed to treat addiction. They explained how drugs like methadone are critical during the withdrawal period of opioid recovery. They then explained that the medicine used is used to stabilize people and return people's brains to normal functioning.
The piece does a good job at showing just how much control that opioids have on people who are addicted and shifting the way addiction is perceived in our society, as well as the sheer scope of human destruction that the opioids crisis has brought. First, it is hard to conceptualize just how much control someone has over their addiction unless you have lived through it. The Times piece uses real-life stories to reveal the crazy extent that some people can go in order to chase their next high. Normal and sensible people are, as the Time article puts it, hijacked by their opioid addiction. One story told in the article recalls one addict left his wife in labor to go to a strip club across the street. He wasn't even aware he had a third child, and when they met, he gave his son a Xanax before sending him back home. This complete disregard for one's children is almost unimaginable. However, the amount of power that opioids has over a person is not related to whether they are willing enough to kick the addiction. The article explains parts of the brain that are dedicated to rewarding behavior and triggering feelings of satisfaction and calm are kidnapped by opioid drugs to induce a temporary state of ease and even euphoria. It is not as simple as one would assume to end an opioid addiction. The article can change the way that our society looks at opioid addiction. Our brains are hardwired to want more opioids. Lastly, the Times piece does a good job at showing people the numbers behind the opioid crisis. One description of how many people die from opioids is especially startling. The toll, as the White House Commission on the Crisis puts it, is equivalent of the 9/11 attacks every 3 weeks. This statement compares the very recent tragedy of 9/11 to the ongoing crisis with opioids. The comparison of 9/11 to the opioid crisis elicits a very powerful reaction from America. People are emotionally connected to the September 11th terrorist attacks, and through this comparison, the article brings attention just how many people are dying daily to this epidemic. This article does a good job at showing both the statistics behind the opioid crisis and the raw stories of those who battled with opioid addiction.
Similar to how the English discipline uses language to analyze the bigger picture, we as political scientists analyze policies to determine what would be best in approaching any given situation. Under the perspective of a political scientist, the Time article does a good job in analyzing the effects of opioids in the United States and the degree to which it is spreading. Considered an epidemic without boundaries, touching every corner of the nation, the FDA took an unprecedented step to pull from the market medications for which the addictive dangers outweigh the pain-killing benefits. In essence, we see how the U.S. government is handling the issues, for better or for worse. There's an active push for changing the way painkillers and opioids, or any prescription drug for that matter, are being prescribed. Changes include perhaps limiting the number of pills a doctor can prescribe at one time and restricting the conditions for which opioids can be dispensed. It all goes back to fundamentally deciding what it is we need to do. Solving this problem in terms of politics requires agreement among multiple institutions of government.
One critique I have about the Time magazine piece is that it leaves the social component of recovery out of Ron and Carla's recovery story. Ron's improved relationship with his daughter and Carla's new support group within her church is presented as their reward for getting clean. However, support systems are a major part of the social component of the biopsychosocial model and very important in recovery. So the piece should have focused more on that aspect of recovery. Using all the components of the biopsychosocial model of care ensures most effective care that is much more likely to last. Another thing that the piece left out was information about what standard they are using to decide if the patients are healthy. Towards the end of the article, Ron and Carla are described as healthy, but they are still taking another opioid to fight their addiction. This raises the question of is the goal of recovery to recover completely and be totally healthy, or is it to be healthier than you were before?
Similar to the nursing module, looking at it through the English lens, the article does a poor job at providing multiple perspectives on the opioid crisis. It is addict-oriented, which isn't a bad thing. However, we only see addiction through the eyes of the addict and those affected by addiction. Only briefly are first responders like firefighters and police mentioned. It'd be more well-rounded if there were more than one point of view on the opioid crisis.
Through the political lens, the article fails to highlight the difficulty that exists to come to a comprehensive agreement among various political institutions. Understanding how this crisis is upending lives, devastating families, and changing communities requires hearing the stories of those with the most at stake, and using those testimonies to come to some form of agreement among agencies to underscore the importance of eradicating the opioid epidemic. Between 2010 and 2015, death from drug overdoses increased by 40%, yet persists minimal political action to do something effectively about the situation.
Overall, this article does a great job at bringing to light the horrific life of an addict, along with the science behind opioid addiction. Through the stories of those who have lived through being addicted, the article humanizes and captures the power that these drugs have over people. Along with the comparison of 9/11 to the opioid crisis, the Times piece is able to elicit an authentic reaction from the reader. Thank you for listening.